Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Mutakwa, good afternoon to you.
Moderator, I am well, and I hope God has cared for you too.
Yes, indeed, he has. Well, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon once again. Been a lovely time actually spending time with you, understanding exactly what these secrets of the kingdom, you know, pertain. And of course, teaching and lecturing not only us here at the Adventist World Radio, but our listeners as well. We do want to appreciate your time indeed. Well, today we are talking about, you know, but once again, the second coming, and we're delving deeper into the topic. And as such, we're looking at the blessing of being a believer. That is, God has left us not clueless, walking around in the dark. Let us look at what the Bible tells us about what to expect at the time of his coming. So, Pastor, before we get into it, please, I do know that you, as a tradition, open for us with a word of prayer. Please do that for us this afternoon.
Shall we pray? Our Father, our Lord and God in heaven, we again come before you this afternoon as you give us this privilege to tackle issues that pertain to the second coming. We again pray for wisdom and knowledge, and that when the listeners shall hear, you will guide them through the Holy Ghost to accept the truth and that they be saved. Bless our moderator as you bless me, including the listeners. In the name of Jesus Christ, this is our asking. Amen.
Amen. And amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. So what does the Bible prophecy say about Jesus coming?
Thank you. I will welcome listeners. I will begin initially by quoting some scripture because it is only scripture that can we can hinge ourselves on. We can trust. It's only scripture that can give us adequate answers. Jude 1, verse 14 to 15. This one is talking about Enoch of the time of the book of Genesis. Verse 14 says, "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints." Verse 15, "To execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them, all of ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Let me go to another scripture, Isaiah chapter 42, reading verse 1 through 4 says, "Behold, my servant whom I have heard, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles." Verse 2, "He will not cry in secret. Verse 5, he will not break. In flash, he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for the truth." Verse 4 says, "He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law." Let me get to the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verse 44. It says, "And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom which shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Let me get to Daniel chapter 7, verse 18 to 14. It says, "I was watching in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the days and they put him near before him." Verse 14. "Then him was given glory and a kingdom then people's nations and language should serve him. This dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And this kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. Before I say, let me read the last verses, and then I say something. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Who said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you said. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 says, behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. We have a multitude moderator of evidence from the Bible about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Prophecy foretold it from the book of Isaiah. Prophecy foretold it even from the time of Enoch. This has been foretold. Daniel spoke about it when he was in a vision, when talking about the four animals that he had, those four beasts, talking about the kingdoms that he saw in Daniel chapter 2 that was coming one after another, after the kingdom of Babylon, up to the last time to the toys. And he was shown how the kingdoms at the last part of the toys would be destroyed by the stone that was cast from them, a mountain without a hand, which symbolizes the coming of Jesus Christ. All this scripture is giving a prophetic description of the Savior Jesus Christ. So prophetically, his coming was foretold, just like the first coming was also foretold in the book of Isaiah. Even his second coming, biblically, is foretold.
Pastor?
Ooh. Yes, I am around.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, I just lost you there. Indeed, it was foretold. Now, what is then Jesus waiting for? What is causing the perceived delays?
Again, to scripture, I will first of all quote Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 7, which says, but the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And I think, let me end at verse 5. Let me not go further, because in the interest of time. Then here we are talking about, it's just a matter of time. Because when the time was became, the fullness of time, sorry, came, at that time when Jesus was to be born in a manger, he came. But now, we can go further by quoting other scriptures, like Joel chapter 2, verse 13, which says, and rend your heart, not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and the relenting of evil. And then let me go to the other one, which is Romans chapter 9, verse 22. What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? And then let me get to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, which says, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? And finally, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slow of his promise, is some slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. We may perceive him as having late. It's about time. When the fullness of time will come, you will return.
Yeah.
Secondly, he is a time, nothing. To rend our hearts, not our garments, not to pretend, but to be with him. He wants to come and save us. The second coming is about salvation. There will be no other chance when he comes for the second time. So he is giving us ample time, dear listeners, to repent and be part of him.
Yeah. Yeah. because there will not be any other opportunity to do that once he comes. So he is delaying what you are saying, effectively, that the delay, part of which is really to give everyone an opportunity to actually repent.
Yes, exactly. To be given an opportunity to repent, to come out of our sins, because he's so loving, he's so kind. He does not want anyone to give an excuse to say, I was not given an opportunity. How can things happen like this? It's because of his love and his mercy, which is so great that he delays to come. He wants to come and to give us an opportunity, to choose and be part of him.
You think everyone will repent?
No, not everyone will repent. Just like it happened during the time when he came for the first time. Even the very ones who are supposed to be the champions of his coming, first coming, rejected him. Not everyone will repent. But now, remember, Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all nations as a witness. Then the end shall come. Like I said, not everyone will repent. But when he comes, no one will have an excuse saying, no, I'm not given an opportunity because the gospel would have gone everywhere.
Yeah, very important indeed. Now, we are waiting for the return of Christ, as he promised that he will come again. And we sometimes go around and people saying, no, man, there's no such a thing as coming. Others have said, no. But that Messiah that had to come, but definitely has already come. The Messiah has come. I mean, there's many other groupings which tell us that indeed he has already come. So, Pastor, are we sure that he truly hasn't come back yet?
Yes, again, the Bible should be able to help us, moderator, to answer this question. Because there is enough evidence that describes the man. The others that people are saying have no biblical. Acts chapter 1, verse 11.
Yeah.
This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in like manner. What does this mean, moderator? It will be a literal event. The way they saw him go, that's the way they see him coming. Let me get to another verse. Is coming, he will actually descend, he will come down, he will be seen. That Christ is visible. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 says, behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. This is the Bible, not me. So, meaning, his coming will be visible to everyone. You will not need to be told that he is in Japan, he is in Pretoria, he is in Cape Town, he is in Dubai. No, the Bible says it will be an event where everyone who is alive, we will see him. The Bible goes further even to say, including those that pierced him, will see him as he comes. First Thessalonians chapter 4. So the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ will rise. He an event which will be heard by people that something is going on, something is happening, because there will be a shout which shall be heard. And when this shout is heard, everyone else will hear the shouts. That's why now in Matthew 24, verse 26, Jesus says, therefore, if they say to you, look, who is in the desert, do not go. Because there is a description which has been given concerning the actual manner in which is going to come. The other one says, Christ is coming will be a glorious event. What do we mean here? Matthew chapter 4, verse 20, chapter 24, verse 27 says, for as lightning comes from the east and the flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. When the sun rises from the east, as it goes to the west, we all see it. We have eyes. We all see it. You don't have to be told. You will see there. That's how Jesus is going to be coming. So this will be a glorious day. Because he will Christ in the sky. The real Christ who died, see him in the heavenly sky. This is what the Bible teaches. So Matthew chapter 24, verse 8 also says, so the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on clouds with the power and great glory. What else? Christ is coming with a climactic event. What does this mean? First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 to 53. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. What does this mean? There is a great change that happens on earth. Those who have died as sinners, as the worshippers, they are raised. There is a change. They are given a body which will not make them to die. Those who are alive and they are Christians, they have been waiting for him. They are also changing their thinking of an eye. History changes. The bodies that have been making us sick, making us contract COVID-19 and so forth, are changed. God, through Jesus, gives us new bodies. Meaning it is a climactic change in the sense it changes at this particular time. This is why Isaiah 25 verse 9 says, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us. The Lord will save us. The Lord will change us. So our destiny is being fixed for us now. We need to make choices right now. Because when he comes, there will be no time to make a choice. So this event, moderator, is a real event. What do I mean? It's an event where Jesus will be seen coming. It's an event where Jesus will appear in the clouds of heaven in a glorious way. The righteous dead will be raised. The righteous living will be changed. They will be given immortality and so forth. So this other teaching, which people teach, is not by the Bible. So what is backed by the Bible is what we are reading from the Bible itself. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah. No, we're still here, Pastor. Now, it looks like everything is imminent. It looks like there is no point of return. He who said he is coming, he's indeed coming. Pastor, we're going to be wrapping it up. One word to the listener that must not be forgotten about the second coming.
Well, certainly Jesus is coming, like we have read. This is the time to make choices.
Yeah.
And be ready to meet him when he comes.
When he comes.
That's the word that I can, that's the word that I can mention.
Beautiful. Well, Pastor, I must say thank you so much for coming through. Blessings to you and blessings to your family as well.
Shalom. God bless you too. And our listeners, may the Lord also be with them.
Shalom.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.